Good morning. How's everybody doing today? All right, last one more time. How's everybody doing today? Come on, your 10:45 service. This is the turned up service. So glad you're here. If you're a guest with us again, we're so honored you're here with us on this Sunday morning. We're honored that you're just taking part of your day to be here with us. I'm excited today. We're in part two of a series called Jesus Is. We're looking at the life of Jesus. In fact, the statements he made about himself and really unpacking what does that mean for our life? How can we apply that to our life? And it's going to lead us up until Easter Sunday in 2 weeks. Come on, if you're excited for Easter, make some noise. Come on, if you still get an Easter basket, make some noise. We're so glad you're here today, and really excited to lead up to Resurrection Sunday at Easter Sunday. It's going to be a great time. I want to encourage you, if you weren't here last week, I shared part of my own story about Easter. I came back to faith as an adult because of an invitation to Easter. And I want to encourage you to be praying about, thinking about who you're going to invite to Easter Sunday. Studies show that 82% of people will say yes to an invitation to Easter. So I want to encourage you to be praying about them and invite them. And we're believing, much like for me some years ago, that people will experience the hope of Jesus on Easter Sunday. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. Seven people did, but we pray for the rest of you. Also, the Sunday after Easter, we're having water baptisms. Really excited about this. April 28th, if you have made a decision to follow Jesus or you've recommitted your life and you've yet to be baptized, this is the time. It was one of the things that Jesus, he modeled for us, but he also instructed us to do. And really what that water baptism symbolizes is the fact that we were raised from death to life. And we would love to celebrate you. If you want to sign up or have more information on the baptism specifically, you can write on your card, your connection card on that note section, water baptisms. We'll follow up this week, give you some next steps. We'll have everything you need. T-shirt, shorts, everything you need for that day. And as we celebrate what God's done in your life on April 28th. But we're going to dive in today looking at a passage out of John 15. Jesus really speaking at last week, we spoke of I am the light of the world, which if you missed it, check us out on podcast. We are now on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. Come on, give it up for our production team. Do an amazing job every single week. If you don't know, they get here early and they set up the lights for us. They put everything up here so we can worship Jesus and gather together. But they also enable us to listen to messages if you miss a Sunday or you want to re-listen to it on the podcast. But today, looking at when Jesus said, I am the true vine. I'm the true vine. And really, what I love about the passage is he's speaking in agrarian principles. And we live in a culture where, especially in the D.C. area, we're kind of removed from agriculture. I don't know if we have any current farmers here today. But in that area, in that time, they were very familiar with agrarian principles. So he's teaching. I love the fact that Jesus was a relevant communicator, and he's teaching this agrarian principle. And I think it has applicability to us. Because in the same way as just recently here in the city, as the rest of the world has convened upon D.C. for the cherry blossoms, come on, it took me 3 days to get out of the city yesterday. that they're coming because what? There's a seasonal bloom, right? It blooms for a moment, and now they're already beginning to fall off the trees. But kind of we see in agriculture, we see in climate and weather that there's seasons, there's cycles. And how many of you know in the same way in life, there's seasons? I think in my own life, back when I was a single young man, and that was a different season than when I got married to Christina. And that was a far better season. And then we had our first daughter, Hannah, and then we had a second child, and then we had a third child, and now we're in crazy season. Come on, I'm just kidding. Pray for us, seriously. But every life it's different. Seasons change, and it's important to know what season you're in and how to respond appropriately. Right, as it's getting warmer, we're seeing people you know, not going outside in the heavy coats that we were wearing several months ago because it's a new season and there's a different response to the different seasons you find yourself in. But I do think there are some things, spiritually speaking and personally speaking, that we can be consistent with throughout seasons so we can be, as Jesus says in this passage, that we can bear fruit that lasts. Everyone say fruit that lasts. Fruit that lasts. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today, God, that we get to open up your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. I pray that as I speak, God, that it wouldn't be my words, it would be your words, God. We posture ourselves to hear from you today, God. We thank you. We worship you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read. We'll be in John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles or your smart device, if not, it'll be on the back screen. You are about to check the box of your Bible reading for the day. You're welcome. We're going to read 17 verses. John 15, 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. For if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what a master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from the Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you so that you may love one another. I feel like after someone does that much public reading, they should get a round of applause, but that's just me. No. Maybe back to school when you do like the teacher would call on different people to read portions, you know. Maybe I'll do that one Sunday. I'll just randomly point to you. Verse 10, go. going back. Jesus is talking about this idea. What's contextually what was happening is Jesus would have been, he was kind of standing under an arbor in this moment, scholars say, and he was referring to this vine that would have been wrapped in between this arbor. So he was pointing to it, and as he was teaching, and he was saying that I am the true vine in this moment. And really what he's saying in this moment is that he's speaking, one, very contextually because of the agrarian principle. They could see the vine. They were, maybe some of them in the audience were vine dressers themselves in that moment. But also he was speaking very contextually to where he was. For in Isaiah, it refers to the Israelites would refer to themselves and their identity as a chosen people of God as the vine. And really what that vine represents in a lot of ways is kind of something, you know, vine is a source to the branch. And what they were saying in that moment is Jesus saying, I know you once associated your identity as the chosen people of God, but I've come to establish a new kingdom, and now I am the true vine. Can I tell you, in the same way in our modern culture, it's very easy. We live in a culture that can associate our identity, get our value, and get our worth from what we do or the degrees we have or how much money we've earned. But I'm here to tell you today, as a follower of Jesus, he is still the true vine. I got two amens. It's okay. I'm going to keep going. It's very common in this culture, right? You meet somebody, and what do they ask you? What do you do? What's your vine? Jesus is saying, no, I came to say that I'm the true vine, and in me you'll bear much fruit. Abide in me. Abide in me. He kept saying, another way to kind of translate that, remain in me or trust in me, and you will bear much fruit, fruit that lasts. talks about leaving a legacy far beyond this moment. I think all of us are here today probably desire to leave a lasting impact, desire to leave a lasting legacy on this earth that has impact, not just temporally, but also for eternity. And in this passage, we get some insight, we get some handles on how we can bear lasting fruit in each season of our life. So I want to share with you three thoughts from this, from the words of Jesus. And here's the first one. If you want to bear fruit that lasts, yeah, number one is you got to remain faithful to God. Remain faithful to God. How many know God is somebody we can trust? It's very common sometimes that in our relation to God, if we're not careful, not mindful of this natural propensity, is we can take the filter that we have with people and we can apply it to God. I'll put it this way. Sometimes because maybe you had your trust broken by a parent who walked out on you, by a spouse who was unfaithful to you, by a friend who betrayed you, sometimes we can take that filter and we apply it to God and somehow we think that God is somehow not trustworthy. But how many of you know the Old and New Testament, we have over 4,000 years of faithfulness of God. We have over 4,000 years of words that he spoke and fulfilled. How many know we serve a faithful God? The Bible says not one word he's ever spoken will return empty. We can't say it about anybody else, but about our God. I love Psalms 33:4. It says this, the Lord is truthful. He can be trusted. Come on, your coworker may not be able to be trusted. Listen, your friends may not be able to be fully trusted all the time. But listen, how many know God can always be trusted all the time? He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His character will never change. It can never change. He's a faithful God. It's important to trust in him. Let's just say this in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That word trust can be translated to go all in. It can be to put all of your eggs, come on, it's Easter time, put all of your plastic eggs in the basket of God. God's saying, you can go all in with me. Go all in with me. Trust in me. Put your complete and total faith in me. And listen, acknowledge me. That word acknowledge is submit. Submit to me in all of your ways, and I will make your path straight. One other translation, I will set the course of your life. How many know God can set a course for your life far better than you could do on your best day? God can set a path for your life far better than you can do on the day where you're the sharpest. God wants to set a path for your life. God wants to set the course for your life. But we got to trust in him. We got to trust in him. I was reminded of about a year ago. I was downtown in D.C. and I was taking my daughter to Disney on Ice. Come on, how many know if you're a father and you're going to Disney on Ice, I think they should have a reward for you. There should be a reward system if you work for Disney. Just put that in your ear. And we were downtown, and this is the first time we had gone downtown in the evening with her. So I was walking with her, and I could tell because it was downtown, it was unknown, it was uncertain at that time for her at a younger age, and I could tell she was a little bit of uncertainty. And I said, Hannah, you can hold Daddy's hand. Just you can trust Daddy. Daddy will. And eventually I ended up actually holding her kind of on the walk to the Capital One Arena. And I thought to myself, even this week as I was thinking of this word of trusting him, in that moment she put her complete trust in her father. How many of you know that even in terms of uncertainty, you may face situations of uncertainty. Maybe it's a diagnosis from the doctor. Maybe it's an unexpected kind of result at work. Maybe a relationship ended unexpectedly. Can I tell you that even in moments of uncertainty, even when you don't know what to do or where to go, you can trust fully in your heavenly father. You can say, God, I trust you. I'm going all in with you. For me, I so often in life, there are times I'll even say this to God. Say, God, I don't know what else to do but trust you. I'm going to completely trust you because I'm done trying to figure it out. I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm going to submit to you in all my ways, and you'll make my path straight. I remember last summer, we had just kind of went public, Christine and I, about planting Catalyst Church, and we were one of the first things they kind of trained us to do in the organization we planted with, the Association of Related Churches. They train you is like, you know, find a location so you can have a home that when you have services that you can gather. And I remember there was a school that I thought it was going to be perfect in my mind. A side note, oftentimes what you think may be perfect in your mind, you don't see the whole picture. Why? Because God goes before you and he's your rear guard. And sometimes he actually, what you think is a closed door, he's actually saving you. And see, I thought this was the perfect place, and there was, you know, it just naturally it all seemed to be great, and had an initial conversation, and it just went really well, and I was excited, and I even knew someone who knew somebody, like, who was kind of connected with the school, and, like, it just seemed like everything was lining up, and then all of a sudden, it was like the door just slammed shut on us, and there was, like, no hope of us being in that school. And I'll be honest, I was, like, disappointed. I was discouraged. I was like, I remember talking to one of our overseers and just being like, man, I thought this was it. I thought everything was moving forward. And how many of you know when you trust in the Lord with all of your might, all of your strength, and you don't lean to your own understanding and you acknowledge him, he makes a path straight for you. Because as I began to kind of say, God, I'm just going to trust you. God, you're calling us to plant this church. God, you're calling us to be in this city. So I believe you're going to make a way. And soon after that, I came across this theater. And the first conversation we had, it was like all of a sudden the door just swung wide open for us. How many of you know that in that moment, as we trusted God, I want you to hear this, that Catalyst Church and what God has done and what he will do, it's not going to be because of the intelligence of someone or the persuasiveness or the leadership ability. It'll be because this church is founded upon the fact that we trust in the God of the universe, that we said, God, we're going to acknowledge you in all of our ways. We're going to do due diligence. But listen, I don't want just natural wisdom. I want his super on my natural every day, all day, and twice on Sunday. And listen, this is how we're going to lead this church. And I want that for your life. Our lives as followers of Jesus should be inexplicable to other people. That I want people to see the hand of God on my life. They can say, I know Jeremy ain't that smart. Come on. He got a D in high school biology. Come on, somebody. I know he's not that smart. I know he can't lead that good. Look at what God has done. I want my life to be confusing to people. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I think that's for every person. Why? Because God does Ephesians 3:20 exceedingly, abundantly, and above all I could ever ask, think, or imagine. That's what I want in my life, church. I want to see a move of God in my life. I want to see a move of God in this church. I want what God does in this church to be inexplicable. I want what God does in this church to see people experience healing, people experience restoration, to see depression lifted in the name of Jesus, to see the peace of God beyond all understanding, to see the joy of the Lord. That's what I want to see in this church. I believe God has that for us. See, marriage is restored. People far from God find the hope of Jesus. I want to see communities restored. I want to see us be a blessing to Montgomery County and D.C. that even those who may not believe what we believe, they can say that church is doing good work. And not because of us. We ain't that good, church. But our God is great. Our God is great, and greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. His greatness is not just for me. His greatness is to come through me to bless the world. Man, that was good preaching. That wasn't even my message at all. The 9:15 got none of that. Come on. That was God. But I want you to hear my heart. Listen, we did this to see a move of God. We're not just a nonprofit organization. Yes, we are legally a nonprofit. But listen, we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are advancing the kingdom of heaven. You want to know what the agenda of the church is? It's to advance the mission of Jesus on the earth, to go forth and make disciples of all nations. It's to advance the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. How many like to see more peace in our communities? If you're not raising your hand, we're going to pray for you. How many want to see more joy in our communities? Not just for us. We're here to bless our community. We're here to be a blessing. Sorry, no, that was in my message notes. I don't know where I am now. Pray for me. So, trust in him. Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 17, that we can, when we trust in the Lord, I love this. It says, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. I want to make a note. Listen, the trust that we have in God is not in the ways of God, but it's in who he is. Because even when we can't understand the ways, we still trust in who he is. Because he is good and what he does is good. And even if I can't fathom, even if I don't understand the good he's doing in the moment, I know by his very nature he is good. Therefore, I'm going to trust he's working all things together for my good because his word says so. Listen, even if right now your situation doesn't seem good, even right now if it seems like things are working out bad at work, things are working out bad in that situation, can I tell you, my God's word says in Romans that he works all things, not some things, not most things, not 90%, not 7 out of 10, all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So I believe he's always working out things for our good. It says this, that he is like a tree planted by the water that sends out roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. I love that. It says when you trust in God in every season of your life, you'll bear fruit. That when you put your trust in God, that you'll see the purposes and the plans of God in your life regardless of your circumstances. That when the heat comes, come on, when the storms come, when the drought comes, you'll be like a tree planted by the stream. As we trust in him, we'll be faithful to him. Deuteronomy 29:9 says this, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may be prosper in all that you do. It says that as you keep his word, as you do his word in your life, that he prospers you. That word prosper simply means that God pushes you forward, that God grants you success. How many know God can push you forward further than whatever degree you have, whatever position you hold in your organization, whatever money in your bank account? God can push you forward farther than anything can naturally. God can prosper you in ways. And he prospers us for the purpose of blessing others. But as we trust in him, he pushes us forward. As we keep his words, we're faithful to his word. You know, it says in Psalms 92, it says this, those who are planted in the house of God will flourish in life. Do you know how we encourage you to commit to a local church? And I want you to hear this heart from me. We don't believe Catalyst Church is for everyone. We believe in the church of Jesus, amen? The name above all names is more important than the name on anyone's website. I was going to say a name above the door, but we don't have a door because we're mobile. But you know what I'm saying? We're here for the church of Jesus. So if this isn't a church for you, let us help you find one. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to be planted and rooted in a church. You need to be connected and a part of the body of Christ, whatever it is. Why? Because then you'll flourish in life. Because God's word says it, and his word never returns empty. Remain faithful to God. Number two, remain fruitful in every season. That was just my intro. I'm sorry. Settle in. I'm just kidding. Remain fruitful in every season. You know, he says to bear fruit that lasts. And we see that in Ecclesiastes, it talks this idea of seasons. It says this in verse 1 of chapter 3. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. You know, I was thinking of seasons recently. I don't know how I came across this, but I think with it being cherry blossom season, I did some research on the life cycle of a cherry blossom. What did you do this week? I studied agriculture. I was a social science major in undergrad. So it was a new thing for me to study agriculture. But I took some time to study the life cycle of a cherry blossom. And what's intriguing is that you probably know this with the peak bloom. It's when everybody kind of comes in town. That the peak bloom is a really short window. In fact, 4 to 6 days after the peak bloom, the petals start falling off, and it's already begun. So that peak bloom time is a really short period of time in the life cycle of a cherry blossom. And then what happens, that's March, April, what happens once all of the leaves fall off, the tree turns green and actually creates a green fruit that feeds small animals. About May all the way through August. And then in September, those leaves fall off and actually scatter seed so that more cherry blossom trees can grow. And it got me thinking, you know, what's intriguing is that the cherry blossoms are known for this season right now, right? That they're beautiful. They kind of feed the eyes, right? There's a beautiful season. But how many of you know that that these trees are actually more fruitful outside of the seasons where they're beautiful? That they're actually feed animals in a season. Listen, come June, ain't nobody coming into town to see those blossoms because they're not there. But just because it's not beautiful doesn't mean it's not called to be fruitful. Can I help somebody? Even right now, you're in a season, and maybe people aren't lining up at your door to get wise counsel, or that book hasn't been published, or things aren't going the way you thought they would, that your life isn't social media worthy right now. You don't feel like you're blossoming. But can I tell you, just because it may not be beautiful doesn't mean it can't be fruitful. In fact, I would venture to say that the summer season, those trees are more fruitful than the spring season where they're beautiful. And what can be happening sometimes in our life is we can compare our season of feeding to somebody's season of blossoming. And we say, I want to blossom like that. Why do you have me here? And God's like, I've called you to feed. Or even get this. Come on, these trees preach. That when the fall, when the leaves are falling off, when they appear to be dying, they're actually multiplying. When things in your life seem to be dying, God's like, if you'll trust me, if you'll walk with me, if you'll be faithful to my word, I'll take what appears to be dying and I'll turn it so that it's multiplying. That's how our God works. That's how our God, that's our faith. Jesus died, and then all of a sudden he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. And now we have life because of him. Listen, don't take what you might appear to be dying. Maybe it's less beautiful, but God's saying, if you'll embrace me, if you'll trust me with this, I will make you more fruitful now than even those that appear to be blossoming. Listen, if there wasn't the dying season of the cherry blossom trees, there would be no blossoming season. In fact, if they did not die off the tree, the leaves, eventually the trees would all die off and there would be no more trees. But the reason they die and they scatter and they multiply. I want to encourage you, wherever you might find yourself, listen, know what season you're in. Ask God, what season am I in and what am I called to do in this season? What does fruitfulness look in this season? What is advancing your kingdom? What is fulfilling your purpose? And don't get so caught up comparing your season of maybe it's fall. The leaves are falling off your life in some ways. Don't compare that season to somebody's springtime. Spring will come. Spring will come. I would actually venture to say the most beautiful season of the blossoms is actually their least fruitful season, actually. So I'm going to encourage you with that. Second is this, that in the wintertime, so December to February, what actually happens is the blossoms are dormant, and that's when the pruning happens. See, what happened when Jesus was referring to the vine, he's saying, my Father's the vine dresser. He cuts off the branches that aren't bearing fruit, and he actually prunes back the branches that are bearing fruit. Because what would happen is this. Is it spring and summer that the branches would grow fast? They would kind of shoot out. But here's what happened. If the vine dresser doesn't cut back the branches, in the next season, the wind of the fall will snap the branch. And actually will eventually kill the vine. So the vine dresser prunes it back. It will feel like it's being pulled back, but it's actually being set up to be more fruitful in the next season. See, what might appear to be, God prunes us to protect us. Hebrews 12:6, it says, God disciplines those he loves. He cuts us back. You might be thinking, God, why am I being pulled back? Why do I feel like this is a dormant season? I'm being overlooked. I feel like things are being forgotten. He's saying, I'm pruning you to protect you and to set you up for fruitfulness in the next season. Because God wants you to bear fruit that lasts. But it has to be cut back. I find in my own life, I think some of the hardest seasons of life will be your dormant seasons. And we all will have dormant seasons. Because life is cyclical like that. And those seasons where you feel like maybe there are some gifts on the inside of you that are dormant. Maybe some seasons where you feel like the dreams in your heart aren't coming to fruition. And you feel like you're not only not seeing progression, you're seeing regression. I have found in my own life, those seasons can be some of the hardest. But those seasons also turn up to be the most fruitful. In my own life, as I look back in retrospect in seasons where I ever felt overlooked or things were dormant in my life, it was in those moments that I thank God for them because God rooted out some stuff. Here's what I found personally, maybe not you, but if I'm ever feeling overlooked, if I'm feeling like things are dormant in my life, God oftentimes, and even I remember this one season where he was pruning out, actually we was pruning out and cutting back in my life was the pride. In fact, the very fact that I think I need to always be up and to the right and that I always need to be fruitful and that it's actually about me is actually in and of itself very prideful and selfish. See, he's advancing his kingdom. And actually, he'll have moments where he'll prune us back to even remind us it's actually not about you, lovingly. Because we make it about us and we set things up on us, it'll eventually crush us. So he'll often pull us back and he'll deal with those issues of the heart in private, of pride, of envy, of bitterness, of unforgiveness. Those things that are deep, 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 deep. But listen, they're like, you know, weeds that grow in a flower bed. They'll choke out the life of the other flowers. They'll take over. Do you know, like, unforgiveness and bitterness and envy and jealousy? You can't see it on the surface, but underneath the surface, it's suffocating the life of the fruit that God wants to bring out of your life. And I found in those seasons for me, they're hard. I've wrestled with God in those seasons. But can I tell you, in retrospect, I look back, I thank God for those seasons. So I want to encourage you, allow God to prune. And oftentimes, his preferred kind of pruning tool is his word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, of the discerning of thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I love James 1. It says this, referring to difficult seasons. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Mind you, he's speaking to a group of believers who are actually getting their lives are being threatened. They're actually being running for their lives to not die because of their faith. And he's saying, he's writing a letter. He's sending a text message, a DM on Instagram. Hey, count it all joy. For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or fatness, either way. I don't need any more of that. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Sometimes we pray for God to deliver us from the very thing he's using to shape us. I go back to the disciples, the Acts of the Apostles. At one point, they were being persecuted. They went back to their homes praising God, saying, thank you that we're counted worthy to suffer for your name. Can I tell you, I think the American church needs more of that faith. I know it's not sexy. I know it's not attractive. But it's real because, listen, they understood this. Thank you that I'm facing natural suffering to build a supernatural kingdom that will last. Church, we have to understand. I'm not saying let's go suffer for Jesus, but I'm saying we need to get a proper understanding that sometimes trials come into our life. Don't be so quick to say, God, get it away. Don't say, God, deliver me from this. Say, God, deliver me through this and shape me through it so I can bear fruit that lasts, so I can advance your kingdom, even if it means I don't build my kingdom. I know it's hard, but it's biblical. Remain faithful to God and remain fruitful in every season. Allow God to use his word to prune your heart. That's why it's so important to be in the word of God, to sit under the teaching of the word of God and allow the word of God to take root so that we can bear fruit in our lives. This brings to the last point, which is to remain on mission. Are you still with me? I know it got a little heavy. But how many know God wants to do exceedingly abundantly and above? And his ways are higher than our ways. Doesn't always look like what we expect, but it's always better than we could even imagine. Remain on mission. You know, it says, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but now I call you friends. He says, I'm now going to reveal to you everything the Father revealed to me. What he was doing in this moment is before, he hadn't yet fully really kind of invited them in. John 13, he begun to, but he's been now to invite them in on the complete reason of why he came to the earth. And he's kind of saying, listen, I'm going to invite you in on something. I'm now going to begin revealing everything to you because I'm about to go. See, it was several chapters later that he was crucified. So he's preparing his disciples. I'm about to leave you, so I need to take the mission that I've been here to fulfill, and I'm now passing it along to you. And he says, greater love has no one known than to lay down one life for their friends. He begins to tell them about the mission of he came to show his love, that God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus, so we could have eternal life. So he begins introducing them. And he says, now I want you in the same way to love one another. You know, the very essence of God's love is generous. The very nature of his love, the very design that we were created in. You know, we were designed to be generous. That's the way he designed us. There are more scriptures in the Old and New Testament on generosity than prayer. God cares about our generous, having a generous spirit, being generous with our lives. That's why we always have a portion for you to bring tithes and give offerings and service. Why? Because the very nature of God and what he's called us to do as followers of him is to live a generous life, is to live a life of open-handed. Why? Because the very nature of his love, the way that he changed the world was giving up something, his very life, for you and for me. So he's inviting them in on this lifestyle of generosity. I love how Paul wrote it to Timothy. He's writing to Timothy as a young leader. He says this: "As for those who are rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, prideful, nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides with everything to enjoy. They are to do good and be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life." Paul's saying to Timothy, listen, I want you to lead people in such a way that they don't build a life for themselves on earth without storing up anything in heaven. That I want you to lead people in such a way, and this is why this is the message we're speaking, is that we live in such a way that we don't build foundations and kingdoms here on earth, but we live our life in such a way, we spend our life in such a way that we're focused on building the kingdom of heaven. Paul was reminding young Timothy, listen, make sure you encourage those to be ready to share, to be willing to give, to do good works. You know, this week I was reminded of the power of generosity. I heard a story of two different girls. One was, her name was Brandy and Amy. And Brandy was a waitress at a restaurant. And one night she was waiting tables. She had just, to give context, Brandy had actually just left a relationship that was, she was pregnant. But the relationship she had left was abusive. So she was working extra hours, trying to earn money to have a stable place to live, pregnant with her first child. And one Friday night at the restaurant, these women came in, and she said they stood out to me because they were kind, where everybody else was being demanding, and they were being kind. Just a very practical note, be kind to waiters and waitresses. Show love to your baristas. Show love to those people, especially on like Friday nights and Sunday brunch. Show love to them. It's a very practical way you can be the light of Jesus in our community. Just be kind. And you never know what people are walking through. And she was walking through a very hard time, and these women were showing. They were asking about the baby and, you know, we have the nursery planned. And so she brought them the check. And as she brought them the check, one of the women gave them an envelope of money. And she gave her a card, and the card says, just a little something extra to let you know that God loves you. And on the back of the card, it says, and so do we, have the name of their church. And Brandy took it, and she said it actually gave her kind of a jump start for maternity leave that she was taking. She said, if I ever go to church, I'm going to go to that church. So she's come to find out, some months pass, and one of her coworkers actually goes to that church and is a part of the serving teams. And so she mentioned one Sunday, she got up and she said, hey, I want to come to your church today. Can you meet me at the front doors? And she did. So Brandy came into the service, and she kind of experienced church in a very different way. Maybe like some of you felt when you came in here today. And at the end of the service, when the time came for people who wanted to make a decision to follow Jesus, she made that decision in her heart. I let them know that she was making that decision to have a fresh start with God. Several months in pass, and they have a water baptism, much like we will. She decides to get water baptized. And now Brandy is raising her son Isaiah in this very church. Now Brandy has spiritual family. She has people who are walking alongside her, who are encouraging her, who are helping her in her walk with Jesus. And Amy was like, it's been amazing for God to work through me by simply being kind, by simply being loving to my friend. And it reminded me in that moment the power of just simple acts of generosity. When we live a life of generosity, how even a moment like that, an extra large tip, how what that can do for somebody else. So here's what I want to encourage us to do as a church. It's Easter season. I mentioned this before. 82% of people are highly likely to come to church if they're invited to church. So we have Easter invitation cards. If I know many of you grabbed them last week, you can grab more on your way out. If you haven't grabbed any, grab some of these purple and black cards. But we also have these cards. We're actually just like the one that Brandy received. It says, something extra to show you God loves you. And so do we. It just has our web address on there. And I want to encourage you this week to as you go throughout your life, be intentional. Be prayerful. Say, God, are there any people in my life that you want me to demonstrate your love through generosity? Maybe it's paying for somebody in the drive-through line, or it's paying for somebody's coffee. It's doing something for somebody at work. I had a friend this week tell me they were praying one morning, and God brought a coworker to their mind. This is how simply it can be. So she asked that coworker to lunch. The coworker began to share with her just all that she was walking through, and was walking through a divorce and just feeling very broken. And a friend offered just a listening ear in that moment. You know, sometimes a listening ear communicates the love of God in a profound way. And again, in that simple way to communicate, not just that I love you, but there's a God in heaven who loves you. Because listen, our goal of life is not just to point back to us. It's to point back to Jesus. So I want to encourage you this week, on your way out, take a handful of those cards with Easter invitations and pray about, even every day, pray about, God, is there anybody that I can just bless today? I can, whether simply bring coffee in at work or maybe bless a neighbor nearby. You never know what a simple act of generosity can do. Now Brandy and her son, her family is forever changed by one person's simple act of generosity in that moment. And if you're going to give that card out at a restaurant, please leave a large tip. Show them what love looks like. Why? Because the love of God is generous. It's not stingy. I love Proverbs 11. It says, I think we have a version. I'm going to share the Message version. It's a message is a paraphrase. It says it this way, that the world of the generous grows larger and larger. The world of the stingy grows smaller and smaller. See, God's called you to live a generous life. He's called me to live a generous life so that we can expand and advance his kingdom on the earth, so that more people would know about the hope of Jesus, so that more people would experience the love of Jesus. And here's what happened. As you begin to allow God to work through you, let me put it this way. When we begin to be the church, not just go to church, when we begin to be the church in our workplaces and be the church in our communities and be the church in our neighborhoods through our acts of service and generosity. Again, that's the essence of love. As we begin to do that, Jesus said in John 15, he says, then your joy will be full. I love one other translation. He says, your joy will be complete. Listen, there is no greater sense of purpose. There is no greater feeling of joy you'll experience than when you begin to partner with heaven to make a difference in people's lives. So I want to encourage you this week, as you're faithful to Jesus, as you're faithful to his word, you'll be fruitful in every season, and that ultimately you would remain on mission and to love those in your world so that they would experience the love and the goodness of God. And imagine even near term on Easter Sunday, if there's people that you are generous with, that you show kindness to, they come and you can see people's lives forever change, just like Brandy's, because of a simple act of kindness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your goodness and grace. God, we pray, God, that today, God, that we would be ones that we would walk out, God, here different than when we came in. God, we would allow your word to take root in our life. God, so we would ultimately bear fruit. God, that we know that you are good and what you do is good, that you're trustworthy. God, help us to be faithful to your word. Help us to be planted in your house. God, help us to be faithful to you every day of our life and every season of our life. God, knowing that as we do, as your word says, we'll be like a tree planted by a stream of water, bearing fruit in every season. And God, that we would be ones who we would understand that, God, where you place us, God, the neighborhoods and the communities and the workplaces and the cafes and the restaurants, that everywhere we go, that we're there on a mission. God, the very mission, much like Jesus said then, he's saying today, he's inviting us into friendship. He wants to reveal all that the Father has revealed to him, the true purpose of why we're here, that Jesus would be glorified, that people would find hope, a future and a fresh start in him. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask a simple question. If you're here this morning and you want to make a decision today. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. And today I want to invite you. However you got here, whether you've been coming for a while or it's your first time here, whether somebody invited you or you heard about us on a web search or social media, I'm not asking for you to join the church. I'm simply asking you to come into a relationship with Jesus. If you've never made that decision before, it's the best decision that you could ever make, is to come in relationship with Him. The Bible says this, that the penalty of our sin, of our mistakes, of our shortcomings, which we all have them, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And all we simply have to do is receive that gift and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to make you Lord of my life. Or maybe you're here and you once made that decision, but you've drifted away from God and you want to make a recommitment today. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But I do want to know who I'm praying with. If that's you, either of those groups, just on the count of three, just shoot up your hand, just high enough and long enough just so I can see it. Ready? One, two, three. Just lift it up. So that's me. Awesome. Awesome. So that's me, Jerry. Pray with me. I want to follow Jesus. I want to recommit my life over to you. And put your hands down. Church, with those who've lifted their hands, can we just pray this prayer together as a declaration of our faith in Jesus? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to the cross and giving your life for me. I believe you rose again. I confess you're Lord of my life. I ask you, lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, let's put our hands together for all of those who made that decision today. Come on.